everyone. My name is Maria Thomas, and I work for Allianz Research, the global team of economists, strategists, sector advisors, and foresight experts of the Allianz Group, led by Ludovic Subron. Welcome to Tomorrow, a podcast where we'll be talking about our latest analyses of economic and capital market developments, as well as our views on trends affecting risk management. Let's get started. Corporate financing constraints hit a record high in 2023, mainly driven by the largest jump in payment terms since 2008. In this episode, we speak to Anna Boata, head of economic research at Allianz Trade, and Maxime Lemerl, lead analyst for insolvency research, to find out why it's taking companies longer to get paid. Hello, Anna and Maxime. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Maria.
Hello, Maria.
So what does the data tell us about global working capital requirements in 2023?
Well, actually, corporate financing constraints hit a record high level in 2023, and the global working capital requirements increased to the highest level since 2008, 76 days of turnover, and it's the third consecutive increase, the third year. And clearly, that has been driven by multiple factors between softer economic growth, higher operating and financing costs, and clearly longer payment delays, higher costs related to the inventory. So it was a broad-based increase in terms of the factors that explain this working capital requirements, but also across the regions. If you look in the trends, in the regional trends, APAC is clearly the one that registered the highest increases, with China being on top of the increase. But then also North America, Western Europe also recorded an increase in the working capital requirement, not as high as APAC, but still. And overall, half of the countries posted an increase in the working capital requirement, with two out of five countries crossing the global average.
So as Anna indicated, the main driver of the global increase in working capital requirements is the rise in days sales outstanding. Can you tell us why it's taking companies longer to get paid?
Well, Maria, we all know that several factors can contribute to delays in companies receiving payments, from longer payment terms negotiated between buyers and suppliers, to late payment culture in some countries, or disputes over the quality of goods and services rendered, or also invoicing errors process inefficiencies. But here, for this recent rise in DSO globally, the key factor is clearly about more cash flow issues, more financial difficulties on buyer's side. And as Anna mentioned before, this is clearly the result of slowing demand, which means slower turnover, in combination with prolonged higher operating and financing costs, which means lower profitability and more financial liquidity issues. So yes, indeed, last year, DSO at a global level increased by 3 days to 59 days in 2008. And this almost doubled the rise in 2022, implying that more companies are waiting longer for being paid, raising the risk of cash flow issues.
Are there particular sectors that demonstrate a more worrying trend than others?
Well, Maria, if your question remains on DSO only, then we should point out construction, electronics, machinery equipment, since they registered the largest increase in DSO at a global level. But it's good to remind that almost all the 22 sectors that we monitor saw rising in DSO in 2023. Yet some sectors proved to be more successful in shortening their DPO or adjusting their inventories in order to compensate for the rise in DSO, in particular in sectors that are more oriented to B2C clients. So the answer is a bit different in terms of working capital requirement, with machinery equipment, software and IT services, construction, pharmaceuticals, and B2B services showing the largest rises in working capital requirement. But clearly the inventory glut has pushed working capital requirement further higher in sectors such as transport equipment, electronics, and machinery equipment, all with WCR well above 100 days of turnover.
And so looking ahead, how do you expect the situation to evolve for companies?
Yeah, well, we don't actually need only to look at the economic environment, but also more precisely at those economic factors that explain payment terms. And we actually did that for the report, and we looked at data for more than 2,000 firms for the UK, France, Germany, Italy, and Spain over more than 18 years. And we found that profitability, actually the gross margin, is the main determinant of payment terms as proxied by the difference between the days sales outstanding and the days payable outstanding. And what does it mean actually is that very easily profitable firms generally choose to pay suppliers early because they want to secure discounts or even improve the supplier relationships. And less profitable firms, they want to extend payable periods to manage potential liquidity pressures. So basically, the economic environment now is of course one of the, as Maxime was saying, as slowing turnover, even increasing turnover, with still quite a high cost structure, even if not as pressuring as it used to be over the past 2 years. But clearly, the overall result of that would be a profitability squeeze, especially in Europe, which suggests that payment term would worsen significantly in the region.
To address payment delays, the EU has recently proposed regulation to fix payment terms. Do you think this will help?
Well, clearly there's an issue of long payments in Europe, but Maxim was mentioning other regions too, right? Asia, and maybe the best in class would be the Nordics and then the US or North America more globally. But clearly, the way you address late payments is also important, clearly because today we do have some rules in the EU directive, which are not necessarily enforced. Just as a reminder, today the directive says that B2B payments or B2G, so with the private or the public companies, need to be done at 60 days. Actually, the realized payment terms are much above the 60 days, rather close to 80 or above 80. It's about payment culture, but it's, again, if we go back to the determinants of payment terms, it's also about the financials of the European companies. If we look specifically to Europe compared to the US, for example. So the profitability example, the profitability driver is not there. So this is also why lower profitability combined with the fact that we do have financing constraints in Europe much higher than in the US. If we think about interest rates, if we think about availability of financing on the capital markets, which is not necessarily very high or very used in Europe today, clearly we can understand why companies do use payment terms as an invisible bank. So it's in the payment culture, but it's also explained by the fundamentals themselves. Now, of course, we need to address this issue. There are currently negotiations that are ongoing between the European Commission, the European Parliament, and the European Council. So there is a calendar in place. Of course, the European election might a bit pose some struggles to this calendar, but clearly there would be a renewed renegotiation at the end of the year when the new European Parliament and the new European Commission will be in place. There is a compromise that is on the table. It's clearly more flexible than the initial proposal, but it takes out the flexibility that companies were used to have, which is, I know my company, I know my client, and I want to be able to negotiate the payment terms depending on my sector of activity or the seasonality maybe of my activity, or just from time to time or from one year to another having the possibility to have these negotiation terms. And very importantly, I think something not to forget is that behind this invisible bank, it's a financing need. And we actually looked at what this financing need would look like if payment terms would be reduced to 30 days, for example, across the board through this regulation. And actually, we find that in Europe, we would have more than 2 trillion euro of a financing gap, which would not be financed by B2B payment terms anymore, but because of the profitability squeeze and because of the financing constraints, it will still need to be financed somewhere, and probably through the banks, and probably at an interest rate cost, which would increase then the interest payment pressure for companies, and additionally on top add more profitability hurdles to companies. So something not to actually to actually reduce as an importance, because this additional interest cost would actually total 100 billion euro, which in terms of margin would represent 2 percentage points of loss. So again, something to keep in mind when we want to fix the problem with the same rule for everybody, with the same number, right? So some flexibility will still need to be kept on if we want to really improve competitiveness of European firms.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find the full report we just spoke about on our website. We'll leave a link in the show notes. If you'd like to discover more of our research, you can also follow the Ludonomics newsletter on LinkedIn. We'll leave a link down below for that too. If you like the podcast, please send it to any of your friends who might like it too, and leave us a rating and a review. We'd love to hear your feedback. In the meantime, stay tuned for the next episode.